Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to another special edition of the One-on-One Inside the Cross podcast. John Gelati here with another Google Hangout for you. Coming at you this week, the Cornell starting attack, Rob Pennell, Steve Mock, and Matt Donovan joined us on Wednesday live from Ithaca, New York on YouTube, Google+, and InsideTheCross.com. Had a great talk with the guys about how their chemistry's kind of come together, one of the highest scoring attack units in the country. Matt and Rob both out in the fall, Rob with his fifth-year Ivy League rules, and then Matt with an injury. So kind of coming together with Steve this year, they've already put up almost 150 points through 12 games, have the Cornell Big Red having a great season so far, heading into their Brown game, and of course the April 27th regular season finale at the Conica Minolta Big City Classic in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. Princeton will play Cornell at 4 o'clock, and Syracuse will play Notre Dame at 6:30. We're excited about that. So we got some great stuff from these guys, some tips on how to generate chemistry amongst a unit, kind of how they've worked together, the skills and experiences of all three guys, and a little bit of personality stuff. Had a nice little Google Hangout bomb from teammate Thomas Keith, which was nice, and had a good talk. So this was a video chat that we were pulling the audio from. Thought it could still have some value at the audio level on this podcast. So please, we encourage you to share all of our podcasts on Google, Facebook, Twitter, whatever floats your boat, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, and also be sure to check insidethecross.com/podcast for all of them. My hangouts all appear on insidethecross.com. You can check the tag Google Hangout, and be sure to check out the Big City Classic on April 27th. It's going to be a good day of lacrosse, two great games, two high school games before that, 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Seton Hall Prep against nationally ranked St. Ignatius Prep, and then Don Bosco against Bergen Catholic in a New Jersey matchup at 1 o'clock. So we're excited about it. Check BigCityClassic.com for tickets, and be sure to follow along with the Cornell Big Red as this high-scoring attack unit continues to go toward the NCAA tournament. And Rob Pennell makes a run at the Twardon Trophy and the national championship that he came back for. We thank the guys for all the time today, and look forward to seeing them at the Meadowlands. All right, we are live with the first ever Inside Lacrosse unit talk with the Cornell attack, starting attack via Google Hangout. We got Rob Pennell, Steve Mock, and Matt Donovan here. You guys want to say hello to your loyal fans?
What's up? How's everybody doing? I'm Rob. What's going on? I'm Steve. Matt.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you guys joining us. The first ever three-man hangout via Inside Lacrosse, so a little intimidated on this end, but hopefully I can handle this one. But why don't we just start off kind of give everybody a lay of the land, where you guys stand now heading into the weekend's game at Brown, and then one more regular season game against Princeton at the Big City Classic next weekend. How you guys feeling?
We're excited. You know, it's been a great season so far, and you know, we're doing our best to get better every day, and winding down here, the Ivy League becomes the main focus. After Syracuse being our last out-of-league game for the rest of the regular season. So, Brown is a great team of this upcoming weekend, and we're excited to, get on the bus and head to Providence and play, a very talented Brown team who has proven themselves this year against a number of opponents. And, we couldn't be more excited to get after, another opponent after Syracuse. It's been a while since we've played, since last Wednesday. So it's always a long break between Syracuse and Brown. So, we've had a great week of practice so far. The weather's been cooperating with us in Ithaca. It's nice and sunny for the first time. So, we've been enjoying that and getting after each other in practice.
What have you guys been doing for the last week and a half, basically? Well, a week now, but what do you do during that week and a half break? As you mentioned, it's a unique break. I'm sure you might want to do something a little differently to keep fresh. What's the key to making it through that week and a half?
Yeah, we had a few days off there. No game this weekend, as you said. Just getting our legs back under us. It's a long season, and we're going into the most important stretch with two Ivy League games left, and then the Ivy League tournament, and followed by hopefully the playoffs. And we've rested our legs a bit, but we've got back after practice starting this week, and we've been working real hard. Getting after each other.
It's important to kind of look over the Syracuse film, learn from that. We had a, Thursday after Syracuse, we had a day off just to kind of clear our heads of everything and, concentrate on school if that's what you need to do, or, you know, just take a day to yourself. And then on Friday, watch some film. Saturday, we had a, you know, a shortened practice with a workout after with Coach Howie as a team. So it's always great to get in the weight room with him. And you know, he pushed us to our limits, you know, certainly mid-season, you know, when you're not working out as much and conditioning as much, you know, it was good to get a good sweat in again. And then Monday, we ramped up for practice again. It's tough. It's been an interesting season with our schedule. We've had five games in 13 days and five games in 14 days for our first 10 games. So it's really challenging and taxing on our bodies. And as far as practices go with that, you know, it's a lot of walkthroughs and, you know, generally lighter practices. So it's been nice on Monday and Tuesday and again today to kind of get after what we, you know, do and start the season in a little more up-tempo practices, running up and down the field more. And get back to our old ways. So it's been nice to do that.
Yeah, nice. I think the most important thing was just getting back after with Coach Halley, our strength and conditioning coach, on Saturday. You know, after, like Rob said, losing to Syracuse was a tough one, but, you know, we got to put it behind us and, you know, focus on Brown. So just working after, you know, getting after it with Coach Halley and everyone, getting a good sweat in was great.
I know Syracuse didn't go as you guys would have liked, but why don't we just hit that real quick, and what have you guys seen in watching that film that was kind of different, maybe especially on the offensive end, that you saw that maybe they were doing differently or that you guys did differently in that second half for you guys, and what have you learned from that game moving forward?
Yeah, I think we made a little too many mistakes, you know, on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. You know, I don't think we shot the ball as well as we'd like in the second half. And, you know, we came out on fire, which was great. But, you know, we didn't do a good job, especially in the offensive end, of building upon the lead that we already had and letting Syracuse hang around at, you know, two or three goals instead of making it a four or five goal game early in that game. And defensively, we didn't do a good job at getting some stops when we needed to, you know, to get our offensive ball back. It was hard watching the game after a first quarter. I remember during the game after the first quarter, it was such a long first quarter with 10 goals scored. It was like, you know, we thought we were dominating the game and, you know, certainly came out on fire. And, you know, you would have thought we were up 6-0. And at the end of the first quarter, it's 6-4. And you know, it's tough to kind of to deal with that over the course of the game. I kind of feel like that's, you know, what the game was. You know, Syracuse did a great job at staying around and staying in the game and eventually broke through it, to their credit, and they kept fighting. But I certainly think we made a lot of mistakes on ourselves and beat ourselves in a lot of ways during that game.
It's interesting you said that as a player. You felt that. I, you know, felt the same way watching at home. It was like, you know, you guys seemed to be dominating that first half, and then we're only up two at the half. It was interesting to see that. Well, why don't we flash back to chemistry and how you guys have kind of come together this year. You guys have put up almost 130 points in 12 games so far, Steve and Rob, among the national leaders in goals and points. You know, Steve, maybe start with you, since you were really the only guy fully active in the fall. What's been kind of the key for you, do you think, to get these guys together on the attack line and meshing together as a three-man group?
Yeah, you know, I've played with Rob for 2 years before this year. He didn't really play too much last year, but working chemistry with him wasn't too difficult. I played with Matt last year, and we've just worked together pretty well ever since. This fall, not having Rob here on campus and Matt being a little injured, banged up, we didn't get to work on that too much. But, you know, come January when we came back on campus, we've just been working together on and off the field, just building our chemistry in all ways. And, you know, this is a great group of guys. I love playing alongside them. Tremendous players. Can't say enough about them. But just building chemistry from the start of the season has been really great.
And what is the key to building that chemistry? You know, especially for maybe like a high school kid or you know, out there who plays attack and is looking to kind of build chemistry with his two line mates. What are some of those key things that you guys have done that have worked for you guys to build that chemistry and relationship on the field?
I think it's just, you know, we watch a lot of film together and just recognizing each other's tendencies and also communication. After plays, we always come together and say what we want to do in the next possession or say what we want to do in the next play. And, you know, talking to each other and just watching each other really are the main two things that has allowed us to have the success we've had so far.
I think it's important to you know, also be very close, you know, with those guys as well. You know, we're very close on and off the field, you know, hanging out, you know, whether it's just hanging out, watching TV or whatever it may be. And, you know, developing chemistry is important off the field, not only on the field, and to get to know that person and whatnot. I think in me being out last year, it allowed me to watch Matt, I think, more closely than Steve. And in ways I kind of, you know, did my best job that, you know, that I could to help Matt develop as a player in his freshman year, knowing, you know, that I was in a similar role to him when he was a freshman, you know, being the quarterback of the offense. And, you know, and he did a great job at that. So in watching him closely and seeing how his game developed, I knew it was only going to be that much more easier for me to come back and add me as a third guy into the mix this spring. And, you know, Steve's, you know, makes my and Matt's job very easy with the off ball job that he does, and, you know, always getting himself open. And you know, I would you know, put Steve up with the, you know, best finishers in the country as far as it goes, you know, lefty and righty. You know, you could throw him the ball at any time and he'll somehow find a way to get a shot off, and most of the time it's going in the back of the net. So we, you know, it's in practice and on film and just repetition after repetition, getting to know each other's tendencies. But I think it's to the point where you know, sometimes we know what each other's going to do before that we actually do it, and I think that's, you know, more important, you know, and the more you can do that, the better, you know, you're going to be come game day.
Absolutely. It might be interesting for people to kind of hear you guys in your own words talk about your roles and then the roles of your line mates, just kind of the strengths of each other. You know, maybe starting with Matthew, you guys just want to kind of go down the line and kind of talk about your role in the offense and kind of the strengths of the other two guys.
Yeah, for sure. My role has changed a little bit from last year. It was the main ball carrier, but with Rob coming back, I obviously knew that, you know, he was gonna, you know, have most of the carries, and I'm fine with that because, you know, he's, you know, one of the best in the game right now. But as far as Steve goes, he's, like Rob said, he makes it so easy for us. You know, he's always moving inside, and it's nice, really nice throwing the ball, because you know he's going to get a shot off, and you know, it's just awesome to play with him. But yeah, it's a little different this year, but you know, things are going well. You know, chemistry's good, and we're building on it.
I think you know, Matt, his development over you know, the year last year and this year has certainly helped me a great deal, generally being that quarterback role and usually being the only one, to where it's to the point where we pretty much have two quarterbacks in the offensive end, two guys that can carry the ball and handle pressure of, you know, a team's, you know, number one or number two defense and whatever it may be. And we, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting stripped or losing the ball or making a bad decision. So Matt takes a great deal of pressure off me when it comes to handling the ball in the offensive end, you know, to the point where I don't need to have it in my stick every time for something to happen. And he's just as capable at carrying and controlling that offense as I am. And you know, I think my role has changed a little bit to that extent this year, to where, you know, I'm trying to work on my off-ball play because, you know, Matt has, you know, grown up into that quarterback role. And I'm trying to just develop my game in other areas to go along with that. But, you know, maintain being the quarterback and controlling the ball as well. And then I think Steve is, you know, the finisher, and you know, certainly, you know, he has a few dodging goals this season. I think he has more assists this season than the previous 3 years combined. So you know, he's also growing into his own as well, and you know, finding new ways to score and whatnot. But, you know, I think everyone looks at him as the off-ball man on the crease. And you know, there's times that he catches passes and scores goals that should in no way be an assist, but he finds a way to make it happen and get the ball in the back of the net. And I'd say that's probably how our roles are.
Yeah, just to sum that up, these guys are both tremendous ball carriers. Like we can say, they're complete players. They can dodge, they can pass, they can score. Matt himself is one of the quickest guys, you know, we have on our team here. He's a tremendous ball carrier, like I said. Rob, as always, is just great on ball. He can see through the defense he knows what I'm going to do before I even do it. Yesterday in practice, he throws me a ball. I wasn't even through, and he finds me. And we talked after, and he said, yeah, I knew you were going to do that. You know, he just threw the ball in there. I knew I was going to be there. So he sees the defense, I think, better than anyone in the country. And then myself, like we've been saying, I'm just an off-ball guy, just trying to create chaos in the middle there around the goal. And these guys are just always finding me, and it's great to play with them.
What about a little personality? Give us some off-field flavor. Give the fans out there some insight into what you guys are all about.
Rob's the fashion guy. He likes he's his V-neck. I don't know.
Not that deep today, though.
Yeah, it could be a lot deeper.
Yeah.
we say.
Steve can dance really well.
Yeah. That's not true.
Steve likes to get what we call horizontal a lot, which is you'll find him laying in his bed often. He's more of the, I'd say he's the more
relaxed.
These two are definitely two of the more relaxed. Steve being the most relaxed. I mean, you'll see some frustration with me and Matt on the field if we're not playing well or things aren't going our way. You know, we definitely get a little frustrated and get a little heated. You know, we're very competitive. Steve, you know, I think is, you know, even, you know, keeled the whole time, same level. We like to say he's monotone, his voice, he never gets excited or he never gets, like, down. Probably the more mature one of the three. And Matt kind of reminds me of Ryan Hurley, and Steve does too, but Matt's just, you know, kind of just funny guy, you know, laid back, but, you know, has you know, knows how to have fun. And the three of us have a great time together.
Sounds like it's a good balance between, a little more up-tempo on the field and a little more laid back. It sounds like a good mix. The addition of Matt Kerwick this year to the offense, assistant coach Matt Kerwick, highly respected, offensive guy, offensive mind for a long time. What has he brought to Cornell and especially to the offense, and what has maybe changed with his arrival?
Coach K coming in. I didn't really know too much about him. Last year we had Coach Krakowski, who was at Georgetown now, but he brings, we kind of run a little bit of a similar offense. We got a 2-2-2 and then a motion offense. But he's a wizard in the offensive end. He draws up plays. You know, we get a new play every week, it seems like, so it's kind of tough to keep up with it, but he knows how to use us. He said that it's kind of different from his past coaching jobs where, he's got two ball carriers and then Steve inside. But, he's tremendous to play for, and you couldn't be more happy to have him.
Yeah, I think one thing that Coach Kerwick does, he puts a lot, gives us a lot of confidence. When we get out of a huddle, we know exactly what we're going to do, and he has full trust in that we're going to complete whatever he gives to us. So I think confidence is one thing that he's brought to the table this year.
Yeah, we get to play a little more loose than last year for sure. But, he tightens things up when they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Coach K at Duke, but I always tell Coach K that we have the best Coach K in the country. So that's what we say and joke around with him. But he's great. You know, obviously I missed the fall with him, and it took me a little bit of time to, get used to him and get to know each other. But, it's like he's been coaching me for years now. We have a great relationship. And, I really think he trusts us out there on the field. And while we have plays for certain times, a lot of the time he lets us, use our athletic abilities and use our lacrosse talents to make plays and play within the offensive system that he's put in. And, I really think that allows us to, grip the sticks a little looser and enjoy ourselves out there when we're playing the offensive end. And I think that's a large reason why we have had the success that we've had on the offensive side of the field this season.
Yeah, you guys are up almost 2.5 goals a game to last year, second in the country at 14, almost 14.5. So the results speak for themselves. Also had my first ever hangout bomb in the background there. That was a nice move.
Yeah,
Thomas Keith, these little baddies on here with us.
Yeah, TK, he likes to get, he likes to be in the eye of the public a lot, and he's generally one of the more louder guys in the team, so I'm not surprised that it was him.
Well, he's been very loud on Twitter with the Isle Hangout hashtag.
That's him.
Which is very nice. He does want to know if any of you guys have ever been in love, so I figured I should pass that one along.
Rob can take this one. I think he.
I think Steve's currently in love. I've been in love in the past. And Dono's currently in love as well. I think I'm the only...
my mother.
I'm the only... I'm in love with my mom, but yeah, I'm the only solo man in the group right now. But yeah, so... But, you know, that's all right.
Hearts are breaking wide open all over, I think.
He's never been in love. I'll answer that question for him.
Yeah. Has anyone been in love with him?
Well, Thomas Key, thank you for the question, and thanks for the cameo appearance. One question I wanted to ask about practice and kind of the family atmosphere that you guys have always, I think, you know, really cultivated, maybe better than any program in the country. And it was interesting, Ryan Boyle and Mitch Belisle were talking about that, kind of arguing about that a little bit in a couple chats ago, that the Cornell mindset of working harder than everyone else and just kind of taking so much pride in that. How do you guys kind of describe that family atmosphere and the practice – practice dynamic that you guys have?
Yeah, we like to think we work as hard or harder than anyone in the country. You know, you never know, but we work our hardest, whether it's in the weight room or on the practice field. Coach is always pushing us, whatever we're doing. And the family atmosphere we have some of the greatest alumni, if not the greatest alumni, in the country. They're always at every game, no matter where it is. Some people traveling from all over the country to come watch us. And it's something you want to play for, and it's something you want to work for each and every day we come out on the field.
Yeah, I think that's where the chemistry is really built between the team, because, you know, you work out, whether it's, you know, Wednesday morning practice at 5 a.m., Friday lifts at 7, 6 a.m., you know, that's, and, you know, you work your tail off, you know, for, you know, 2-plus hours or whatever it is, you know, and you come to the locker room, you see guys, you know, dying, you know, drinking their Rock and Refuel we get for a little protein after. Everyone's kind of dead and, you know, looking around and, you know, looking at each other like, you know, I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else. So I think that's really where the chemistry is was built and
our coaching staff as well as Coach Alley in the weight room do a great job of pushing us to our limits and then some, to, you know, where we are uncomfortable, and it really makes game day seem like a day off, at least for me. You know, there's nothing harder than practice, you know, from one drill to the next at a high intensity, you know, high level. And, you know, Coach Alley does the same thing in the weight room. You know, there's no walking anywhere. It's one drill to the next. And he constantly pushes our limits to see how much we can handle. And, you know, I really think that's what translates over to us being able to practice at the pace that we do and to play at the pace that we do on game day. And for the Cornell family, you know, there's nothing – I've ever seen like it in the country. It's truly is special, and it was, you know, for the Syracuse game, I must have got 4 or 5 emails or text messages from different people saying they were going to be with a Cornell alumni group in New York City or in Philadelphia, Atlanta, Georgia, Lake Placid. You know, there was a bunch of people telling me that they were getting groups of people together to watch this game and cheering Cornell on, and, you know, that's how special it is. And it truly is a unique group of alumni and family that come together every year and get excited for us and celebrate with us and you know, share the pain of defeat and you know, the, you know, happiness that comes with winning games. So it's awesome and truly special to be a part of.
Nice, yeah. First off, great little Rock and Refuel plug, unsolicited, also an Inside the Cross, proud Inside the Cross sponsor. You will see that at the Big City Classic. And speaking of, shout out to Johnny Heil, who, local West in New York City, will likely be hosting the Big City Classic pregame party Thursday night before the big event, April 27th. But proud Cornell alum, Lake Placid mainstay, and an all-around good guy. So let's talk a couple more questions from Twitter real quick. And one that I thought is a declarative statement, but I'll ask you guys it as a question. Bobby Barista is saying, best attack unit in the country. What do you guys? What's your take on that? Are you guys the best attack unit in the country, or what?
I mean, I don't. We're a very humble attack unit, so I don't think we're gonna say whether we are or we aren't. But I think we just try our best and every day, and you know, we, you know, as long as we think that, you know, that we're the best, and you know, we don't want to play alongside any other you know, attackman, you know, than us three, then I think that's what's most important. And as long as we trust in each other and believe in each other, but you know, hopefully, you know, we can continue to have the success that we've had moving on this season, and continue to mesh together and, you know, peak at the right time. And I think, you know, we'll continue to work as hard as we can to do that and get better, not only as a unit, but also individually as well.
Great. And then I like this question from Mike Weaver. What is the most important thing to make it to the highest D1 college level? Any sort of development tips you guys can give to some of the players out there watching you guys, watching college lacrosse in general?
I think one thing that's huge, because, you know, every good lacrosse school these days, D1, is a very good school. So I think grades, you know, I mean, every college coach is going to tell you that, but it truly is, you know, the most important thing in a recruiting process. It doesn't matter how good you are. You know, the first thing, you know, coach is going to ask after they see you play is, you know, what are your grades like? What are your SATs like? What are your ACTs like? I think, you know, other than working, you know, working on your own, working with your dad, whoever, you know, in the backyard, putting in, you know, hours and hours of work, you know, besides all that, because, you know, that's a given. But the grades really do, you know, bring you to wherever you want to go.
I think overall it's just a mindset, you know, to work hard at whatever you're doing on that day, whether it's in school, like Matt's saying, or on the field in practice, or alone shooting by yourself. Just the commitment to working as hard as you can every day, to outwork the rest of the guys in the country who are also fighting for those spots to play at the top D1 level. I think that just encompasses all things that you could do.
Yeah, you know, I think growing up, my mindset, and this is kind of how I always usually answer this question, is to just never be satisfied with the player that you are, and always understand that no matter how good you think you are, that you can always be better, and there's always some part of your game that you need to improve or that can be improved upon. You know, whether it's lacrosse specific in shooting or passing, or it relates to weightlifting, speed and agility, you know, there's always something over the years that each and every year that you evaluate yourself, and it's important to keep evaluating yourself and being honest with yourself as to the player that you are and the player that you want to be, and to evaluate yourself and pick those areas of your game and be your harshest critic and understand that these are the areas that I need to improve upon and that, you know, you should work on moving forward. So it's always important to evaluate yourself and be honest. You know, never tell yourself that you're better than you really are. Or think you're better than you really are, because that's just going to hurt you, and you know, you're never going to get to the level you want to play at.
Yeah, just to end on that, something Rob said to me last year that really stuck with me, and you know, to this day, is, you know, always stay uncomfortable. You know, when you go out to shoot or you go out to work out, don't work on what you're good at already. You know, just put it in your left or weak hand, whatever it is, but just stay uncomfortable.
Nice, great advice, thank you. And then I know you guys take it one game at a time, so I won't ask about the Princeton game, but as two Long Islanders and one New Jersey guy, playing in MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, I would imagine is a pretty special opportunity. Just kind of talk about what that opportunity is going to be like, and I know, Matt, especially your Seton Hall prep team is going to be playing St. Ignatius beforehand, which is kind of cool. So just kind of talk about that opportunity for the Big City Classic and what that means to be playing in such a big venue near your hometowns.
Yeah, playing the Big City Classic in MetLife Stadium is going to be huge. Unfortunately, a big Jets fan.
Unfortunately.
So that's going to be awesome. We've played a few football stadiums before, but playing the Jets stadium for me is going to be, you know, a great experience, and obviously it's going to be a huge game for us, an Ivy League opponent. In Princeton, it was always a tough game for us, a big rival of ours, so it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to play in these events that, you know, Inside Lacrosse hosts. It's always special, and, you know, it started with the Conical Malta Faceoff Classic down in Baltimore. That was the first time that we ever experienced it, and it was, you know, it's nothing like playing in such a big venue in front of so many people, and, you know, Coach asked earlier in the season, you know, or, you know, in the fall about the scheduling, he's like, you know, would you mind giving up a home game for this? And I said, not at all. You know, I think it allows us to play at a neutral site and, to put one of what I think is one of the best rivalries in college lacrosse in the national spectators' eyes. And also for all our fans down in the New York City, tri-state area, to come out and see us. That they always can't travel up to Ithaca and whatnot, and it just allows people from closer to that area to come out to MetLife Stadium and see Cornell play and see what we're all about. And I also think it's very important for us to play in a good big atmosphere like that, moving into Ivy League tournament play and hopefully the postseason after that. It's a good experience. So it truly is a great event, and I know I am very excited as well, as even though my parents will not be there, they'll be at a wedding, but I'm very excited wow. to get down there and play in front of the tri-state area crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome. As a kid, it's kind of what you dream about. You go to these venues growing up, think, how cool would it be to play in these big games, and we're actually playing it. So it's a great opportunity. A lot of family and friends are going to be there. My brother and Seasonal Prep are going to be playing earlier that morning. Got a couple friends on Princeton, so should be a good game.
Two Donovans in one day. It's quite the treat for all the fans out there.
That is double your value. 11 a.m. playing Seton Hall Prep, playing nationally ranked St. Ignatius Prep out of California, so that should be exciting. And then BigCityClassic.com for tickets. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you. And then last question, this just dropped on my desk today.
Oh, nice.
What do you think about that?
That's awesome. I was, a little bird told me that I might be on the cover, so that's awesome. Back to the Future, huh?
Yeah, playing off the 70s theme that, last
Cornell time. Cornell and 70s battles.
Yes, last time Cornell and Maryland had won a title, so we were playing off that. But
nice.
I don't know who leaked out that information. That should have been top secret. I'm disappointed. I'm going to have to – heads are going to roll around here. Well, I appreciate it, guys. This has been good. I know it's about 4 o'clock. Do have to get in one last question from Thomas, or no, I don't know who this is from. Oh, Jason Noble, another Cornell Big Red player. What are your spirit animals and why? Last question.
What are your what? Spirit animals?
Spirit animals? I don't know what that means, but I assume that you guys might.
My favorite animal is a penguin. I don't know.
Yeah. I like monkeys. Especially the monkey emojis on the iPhones. Those my mom's favorites, so those are good. I don't know what my favorite spirit animal is, though.
I have no idea what that is.
I will say, make sure everybody out there votes for Jason Noble for the Lowe's Senior Class Award. He's an extremely special person, so that's funny that he had that question there. But he is the man, so he's a great defenseman. Best in the game, in my
opinion. Guy I know. And, greatest guy I know.
Most humble, greatest guy on the team, so he's our fearless leader.
And ask great questions as well. Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time, guys. Best of luck with Brown this weekend, and then we will see you on Saturday, April 27th at the Big City Classic, Hanukkah Minolta Big City Classic. BigCityClassic.com for tickets. Looking forward to it. Thank you for the time, guys, and thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks. Inside the Cross Podcast.